There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hello and welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, our daily podcast bringing together the best of today's show from Sunday, January the 12th. We've had some messages in this morning asking whether or not Richard Dean is not in the studio. If he's off because of the rain, maybe worried about getting his hair
wet. Fair weather podcaster, isn't he? It only comes in when the sun's shining.
Not quite the case. One Richard Dean stuck this morning in Mumbai.
I got to the airport last night around about 10:30 to check in. I've been in Mumbai for a friend's wedding this weekend and was told that my flight was cancelled and that all flights from, I was on Air India, were cancelled and basically to go away. That was essentially it. So I did and went to the nearest hotel and checked in. So I am stranded in Mumbai because of the weather at DXB.
So Tom Urquhart, bravely getting up this morning, late night call. Tom, you've got to step in. He's doing the honours. Richard, though, does have plans to get back.
So what I've done, obviously lots of scrambling around, as a lot of people have done, I've booked myself on an Etihad flight to Abu Dhabi, which gets in this evening around about 7 p.m.
Then you're just going to swim.
With luck and a fair wind, I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.
Well, and Richard was telling us that there is obviously, I mean, those Indian flights into Dubai, so popular. He hasn't been alone down there at the airport. So we asked what the reaction had been like. Was there a bit of sort of blitz spirit going on?
I mean, there was a bit of kind of chaos at the airport because there's lots of flights from Mumbai to Dubai. Obviously, it's one of those big routes, isn't it? It's your London, Dubai, your Mumbai, Dubai. They're the busy ones. But honestly, in Mumbai, it's someone else's problems because 99% of people are flying anywhere else. So yes, the Air India desk was rammed with people trying to rebook. And I know they had one flight that arrived from Chennai yesterday that did make it into Dubai, but it spent 5 hours taxiing because of the flooding on the tarmac. This is what the local media are reporting. So there are issues here. But honestly, the weather's lovely. Mumbai isn't massively bothered about Richard Dean's challenge to get back to Dubai.
And Richard Dean's currently sitting in his hotel restaurant eating a masala dosa for breakfast. I have the pictures. Rich isn't the only Arabian Radio Network ARN presenter who's been affected by the rains.
This is inside my house. The whole place is flooded. Look at this. My foot is like literally submerged. I'm walking through to my back area where all my stock is now probably ruined. Oh man, you're joking. Oh, this is stock for my company. It's ruined.
That is, of course, one Chris Fade of Virgin Radio assessing the damage that he woke up to yesterday morning. Dubai residents, and thank you all of those who have got in touch, are some still coping with it this morning, different areas of rain in Dubai, some mopping up after the weekend. Dawn has seen her apartment affected.
I woke up in the middle of the night. Went on Twitter, obviously, because that's what you do. And somebody I followed was mentioning the fact that their apartment was a little bit affected by the rain. So I went downstairs and realized that the whole of my living room was completely flooded simply because the water had come through the window, come through the balcony. I mean, it's lovely listening in bed to the rain. It's the nicest thing ever. But going downstairs and getting your feet all wet, less fun.
But I tell you what, though, we asked at Dawn the million dirham question this morning. Do you have home insurance?
So I'm in a rented apartment and in a furnished apartment. So no, I don't. The only thing that I really, really care about is my cuddly toy and my computer, and we're all safe.
Dawn's not the only one not to have home and contents insurance, and it's at times like this that people really start thinking about it. We've been speaking this morning to Jonathan Rawling, the CFO of Yalla Compare, asking, because Yalla Compare is one of those financial comparison websites. You go on when you've got to insure your car or whatever, and you figure out the best price and the deal that suits you. And we said to Jonathan, on your site, how many people are actually logging on and looking at home or contents insurance?
It's very, very, very little, Brandy. So to give you a comparison, if we were looking at the UK market, for every 1,000 car insurance policies that were sold, you'd expect there to be 500 to 600 home insurance policies. That gives you a size of, you know, the relative size of home insurance. Here in the UAE, for every 1,000 car insurance policies we sell on Yalla Compare, we're only going to sell about 25 home insurance policies. We're comparing 600 in 1,000 to 25 in 1,000. So the interest here is very, very minimal.
Why do you think, I mean, car insurance obviously mandatory here.
Yeah.
Why do you think that we don't take out home and contents insurance?
I think there's a couple of things going on. I think firstly, we're fortunate enough to live in a very safe country, so people don't overly feel the need to protect themselves, and that trickles down into their insurance buying habits. I think secondly, and related to that perhaps, is people think of themselves, I think, here in the UAE as transitory. They're not going to be here for very long. They don't necessarily invest in furniture and things, and so they again, don't feel the need to protect that. What I always say to that is, okay, you might not have a lot of furniture, but just open up your wardrobe. Just imagine how much that it would cost you to replace all of those clothes. So people perhaps don't realize the size of the risk they're taking by not having insurance.
Well, I'm a Girl Scout. A couple of tower fires ago, I went out and got myself insurance. Tom Urquhart?
I got to put my hand up and say, no, we don't. As I said a little earlier on in the show, it's one of those ones, it's like wills, isn't it? And I do think it's got something to do with this transient nature at which a number of people approach life here in the UAE. You think they're going to be here for a couple of years. As we heard from the insurance expert earlier on, you go down to a famous store, you buy a bit of furniture, you're quite happy to just leave that furniture behind, or maybe you whack it on to do business, see if you get rid of it.
It's not your grandma's dining table, is it?
It's not an heirloom. It's not a family heirloom. It's not something that you It's not the Matisse that you're hanging over the fireplace or anything like that.
It's an IKEA Billy bookcase.
And then I'll be the first one to put my hands up and go, you know what? Been here 20 years now, we have collated a lot of stuff. And during that stuff, a lot of stuff that will be keepers, for want of a better word, we'd like to move on with. And so we are silly not to have it. And as was borne out by the last 48 hours, 24 hours, you know, we've had one roof in one of the rooms come down in the villa on Friday night in a sort of extension we've put on a
You're building an extension out the back of your
villa.
Sound
like an absolute plonker now. No, because so we've got a gym. We built a gym. We didn't. The War Office built a gym, and the roof's come down. So therein lies an issue, because obviously the contents of a gym, a lot of them are
mechanized,
plugged in, etc., and the roof's come down on that one. So obviously that's something we need to address. We just at the door and forget about it until we can do the mop up. But again, that is one of those instances where we would have benefited from a contents and home insurance, and we are silly not to have it. Will we learn from this? Probably not. You know why? Because look at that. Sun's coming out now. Yeah. It's going to be absolutely glorious this afternoon. It's going to be glorious tomorrow. So when we sort of think about all the heartache and pain that we've had over the last 24 hours, tomorrow morning you look out at the sky, but it's not going to happen again for ages, is it?
Which is exactly what Jonathan Rawling from Yalla Compare said to us. We said to him, will you see a spike? You know, on the back of this, people are seeing all this stuff on social media. They're seeing Chris Fade wading shin deep through his living room. Will you see a spike in people looking to buy home insurance? And he said, well, we saw a little bit of one yesterday. We might see one today, and then that'll be it.
Has Wadey got home insurance? Do you know? Have you asked him this morning or not?
No, we'll pop your head down the corridor and find out.
No, I'm too nervous. You go and ask.
Well, he's just too big a celebrity for you, Tom, is he?
You go and ask.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Someday I'm gonna need insurance. In my mind, there ain't no doubt. Someday I'm gonna need Why, that's just one thing I can't live without.
I've got to ask before you move on. I mean, where on earth did you find that?
The internet is a beautiful place. That's a guy called Dave, I think.
Who on earth in their right mind wakes up on a Sunday morning with that spark of inspiration and goes, you know what? I am going to pen a nice little ballad with my guitar about all things insurance.
I'm pleased he did. I'm very pleased he did. And he's right. One day you will need insurance. And I tell you what, we only ever think about it after the flood or after the fire. Anthony Cherkiai is the head of general insurance for Nexus Insurance Brokers. He's been in the studio talking us through what he's been seeing. He's been walking around assessing damage, and we asked him, how busy have you been?
Oh, this, I mean, it's a non-stop telephone calls and people and insurance companies, loss adjusters. You have to think about that, as I say to everyone that has a misconception of insurance is your last line of defense. So basically, when everything goes wrong, the customers, both commercial and individual, will always pick up their insurance policy and look at it at all the terms and conditions and what is covered, what is not covered. That's why we always tell our customers and prospects, please always look at your contract, insurance contract. If you don't understand it, please use a reputable broker and always call us otherwise.
We talk anecdotally about how underinsured we are here when it comes to the stuff that's voluntary, like homes and contents. How true is that? How underinsured are we?
I read an article, I think last year, or maybe from this radio as well, that say that only 7% of households are insured all over the UAE. So it's very, very low compared to, I heard some before say that it was much, much higher in the UK or in Italy or in the Western world. So the insurance penetration is one of the lowest in the world in the Middle East for various factors.
Which are?
Most of what also Tom was saying before, that people feel they're coming to the Middle East for a couple of years, jolly good time, I'm moving on, I don't need it, I'm renting, very cheap furniture, I don't need it. But then little by little we find ourselves that we stay longer than 2 years, and then little by little we accumulate valuable, we accumulate dresses, we accumulate a lot of possession, and then little by little that wardrobe increases, and then obviously we find out it's 200, 250,000 dirhams and more.
I wonder as well, because Gary's been in touch with an interesting point, just to sort of follow on from that. His question to us was, who's responsible for buildings insurance here if you rent? Is it the landlord like the UK, or is it the tenant responsible here when occupying? Again, a lot of people are dependent on their landlords. A lot of people think that building management or building owners will take care of any problems.
This is a very interesting question, and this is very much going on to all the buildings in Dubai. Most of ourselves lives in big buildings, high rises. So basically, what you have to do it in case of claim, you have to take pictures, take the proof of any damage to your possession, and then refer it to your homeowner associations or to your landlord. And then look at it, where is the fault? Most of the claims we see it in the weekend is because of water dripping. And if you take my home as well, I had a tree water dripping coming. It's a new buildings in the center of Dubai. And I have my insurance, of course, but also I take in my pictures, and then I will refer it to the building association in my building. And then we will see from then with the loss adjusters.
So who is, what falls under what category? How much is your landlord? What areas is your landlord responsible for?
The landlord is responsible for all the breakage of the pipes and the leaking in my home. This happens often. But obviously, on the facade of the building, then obviously the homeowner association will have their own responsibility for the maintenance. Remember that this was something I want to tell everyone. Most important in insurance is a good maintenance of the building, good maintenance of your home.
But if the pipe bursts or whatever happens, and it's your rugs that are underwater, it's your clothing that's damaged, if the pipes are the landlord's responsibility, does that mean he needs to pay you for the damaged goods?
We have insurance for that, of course. and then insurance will refer it to the landlord. But obviously, if it's a landlord and you don't have insurance, obviously the landlord has to pay.
You've been out, haven't you, assessing the damage over the weekend?
Yes. Well, this is part of our job to obviously support our clients all over the UAE, and that's what we do normally. This is extreme circumstances of these really heavy, heavy rains. But the change on the weather pattern around the world, you can see everywhere in the world, in Australia, as you know, it's really impacting the way that we do things. And we hope that everybody will take measure to minimise their claims.
We have been taking some questions from people this morning. One question, possibly sparked off by pictures of Chris Fade paddling around his backyard, which has somehow turned into an Olympic-sized swimming pool. If you take home and contents insurance, is anything outside? Is your backyard, is any bikes parked in the garden, are they covered?
Yes, indeed. Again, it's very, very important that you check your contract, your insurance policy. You check the exclusion. You check everything in the policy that says what is covered and not covered. And obviously, doing this, you'll have to look at several insurers. We always say it's better to go to a trusted broker, look at the several policy, compare them, and then you take a decision. Obviously, the insurers that they have a higher premium, they might also, because the quality of the contract, of the policy, and the lesser exclusion, make sure that you are covered much better than a very, very cheap insurer.
Well, Chris also has posted a video of himself wading through the house and discovering that a lot of boxes of stock from his business were effectively underwater. Do you need, if you're an entrepreneur, a lot of people will have their own small businesses, will, like Chris, have, you know, stock materials at home. Do you need two lots of insurance for that? Do you need both business insurance and personal insurance?
This is it's a very interesting question. I mean, one of the basic of insurance, and I tell all your listeners, is that you have to tell everything to your insurer. You have to have what we call it in our terminology, full disclosure. If you tell your insurers that you are running a small business, you have a few boxes, can I ask if this is covered or not? And then you'll have a deductible, or maybe they say, yes, you're covered without deductible. But always have this courtesy and the trust of which utmost good faith is based insurance. Tell your broker, tell your insurer what you have in your home.
Anthony Cecchiai from Nexus Insurance Brokers. He's the head of general insurance there.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast. The Business Breakfast's Pick of the Papers.
Where we are very pleased to have Natasha Thomason from the ARN News Centre. Right, it's an interesting morning out there of changeable weather. 2 minutes ago, Tom was looking at grey clouds out the studio. Now it looks like a beautiful summer's day.
No, it's amazing this morning. So I took my son into school, dropped him off, and it was absolutely clear. The skies were unbelievable. But when I looked to my right towards the Arabian Ranches, when I was driving back down Hesse Street, it was absolutely dark. And there were parents texting in on the school group saying that there was a hailstorm in that area. So it's unbelievable. As you said on the show this morning, you can drive through four different weather conditions.
Four seasons in one day, as yes. My compatriots, the crowded house folks, would say.
The old dreaded school WhatsApp groups must be going into overdrive this morning, mustn't they?
They were indeed. You know, there were some parents who didn't send their children into school. And to be fair, I think the parts where they lived, the weather was quite bad. It was raining. You wake up and there's a hailstorm outside. So you think it's going to be bad for the rest of the day. But some of us, I mean, we did send our children in. I was like, there is no way you are staying at home. Where I come from, this is very normal. We have, you know, waded through floodwaters and got into school. So you have to do the same thing. There is no mollycoddling happening in my house.
Fair enough. You lay down the law, Natasha.
She's a monster mother, that one, I tell you.
I bet the other mums love you.
Well, there's some mums who are on the same page as me and some aren't. But, you know, to be fair, like I said, it was bad in some parts of town. And, you know, they took that decision for the safety of their children. And I hope I don't regret my decision later this afternoon during school run.
Ah, see, there you go. That could come back to bite you. Tom's been compiling a massive list all morning of the schools that are open, the schools that are closed. It's very much a mixed bag. And it's not really, as Natasha says, it's not about the schools. It's about where you're starting from.
So it's interesting, wasn't it? Because a lot of, like I was saying earlier on, we were given And that seems to have been the remit from a lot, because the KHDA, didn't they, last night were saying, look, we're not going to say anything to anybody, but we are going to give you, we're going to give principals the opportunity to make their own choice. And then also that was sort of handed down by the principals to a number of parents, because we got a text message yesterday saying, look, we're not closing, we're going to be open for business, but if you feel that you're not going to be able to get your little loved ones into school safely, then we're not going to judge you. We won't mark you off or anything like that. Don't you worry. So the onus was with the parent. Mm. Now, as far as there are plenty of very responsible parents, such as the one sitting opposite me over there, who would go through hell and high water to get their children to work, come what may, there are others out there that looked at those messages and went, thank you very much. Alarm clock off. There we are, kids. Just can't get through.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the reasons for closing down are varied. And, you know, there are some schools who are actually closed for a very good reason. There has been damage to infrastructure in and around some schools. So they are not taking any chances and they don't want to jeopardize their students' safety. And many of those schools are actually carrying out emergency maintenance work today to make sure everything is back to normal tomorrow.
Fair enough. I want to get your opinion on something, yes, Natasha. It's a new mirror that shows you not as you are, but how you'd like to be. Tom and I are at odds as to whether this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. Listen to this and let me know what you think.
Attractive body image is something we all desire and want to achieve. You deserve to look at yourself and love what you see. Introducing Envision Body. Using revolutionary technology that powerfully increases confidence in your appearance. Using the latest augmented reality technology, Envision Body lets you see the body image you've always wanted. Our engaging immersive software allows you to view your after body instantly. Take your social media experience to the next level. See what you would look like after losing weight or an increase in muscle mass. Then share your new image with friends. Our philosophy is that if you can see it, you can achieve it.
So basically, you type in what weight you want to be or how buff you want to be, and it will, and it's not a cartoon. I've watched the whole video. It's not a cartoony little avatar. It looks like you, but better. And the more you exercise, the better you get.
Using a next-gen heart rate sensor, Envision Body detects your exercise performance. When an increase in heart rate is sensed, the app provides more body enhancement. The harder you work, the better you'll look. You won't want to stop short of your max reps when staring at yourself with more muscle mass or rock-hard abs.
So there's this mirror in front of you, and in it is the best version of Tom Urquhart the world has ever seen. Tom Urquhart crossed with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, and the more he lifts, the bigger the guy gets. Would that inspire you or would it do the opposite?
Not at all. I would be so stressed out looking at that image and wondering if I will ever reach that goal. And what's the guarantee that you will actually look like that?
See, I was watching the video and I thought, God, first of all, I thought that's creepy. And then I thought, but it probably would if I was sitting there thinking, yeah, come on, I can do that. It's doable. You know, they talk about visualization for athletes. You know, you've got these skiers who are sitting in dark rooms for hours just visualizing themselves, nailing the jump over and over and over and over. Surely this is the same thing.
I would like to get a professional doctor's opinion about this because This would be
you're suggesting
like
that Tom and I are not professionals. So offended.
I just don't think it'll work. Honestly, I mean, in my case, definitely not. It will not work because, A, I will just be upset all the time just looking at that image of, you know, what the potential there is.
It's just the issue of unattainability, isn't
it? Exactly.
Well, the whole idea is that if you keep working out, it will be attainable.
Yeah, but for how long? That's the thing. I mean,
decades.
Exactly. Yeah. As your avatar gets younger and younger and younger, you get older and older and older. What on earth? You know, it was meant to happen overnight, wasn't it? Surely.
Well, that's a good point. I don't know if they actually age the face in line with how long you are taking.
They basically just take a morph of you as 21 years old and go, "Look, this is what you could have had if you had looked after yourself." All right.
There you go.
The only add-on I would put to this is that there's nothing new. I mean, since you broached this subject with me, I've been looking into the culture of skinny mirrors, which is completely new to me.
If you were a female who'd been in a dressing room,
yeah,
mirrors. You'd know what a skinny mirror is. Have you never tried on jeans and thought, God, I look great. I'm going to buy these. This is brilliant. You get home and you're like, why don't I look great anymore? Because the mirror is warped in the changing room.
It's
a thing.
It is.
Totally a thing.
It's a thing.
Totally a thing.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We're going to talk about protecting your company now from cyber attack. This is after all of the headlines about the ransomware attack New Year's Eve on Travelex, that is part of the Finabler Group, UAE Finabler, B.R. Shetty's organisation, the majority owner of Travelex. They were hit by ransomware and the threat that if they didn't pay $6 million, then sensitive customer data would be sold. Very pleased to be joined in the studio by Rabbi Debussy, who is the Senior Vice President of Sales, Marketing and Business Development at Digital 14. Rabbi, it's lovely to have you in.
Hi, Grady.
With your new company hat on. If you're a regular listener, you will know Rabbi maybe a little bit more as the voice of Dark Matter. But now in with Digital 14 with us this morning. Rabbi, what do you make of the attack on Travelex?
So look, just to begin to clarify for the listeners, a ransomware is a tool that infects your computer system and encrypts them through a cipher, and then deems your files unusable. And the attacker asks you to pay ransom to unlock your files. It has become a very effective tool in cybercrime. In 2019, we saw a serious increase in ransomware incidents globally and locally. And we try to work with the infected companies and our prospectus clients to help them identify the best measures and tools and plans to defend themselves against ransomware.
Travelex is a major money mover, holiday money company to a lot of people. Finabler itself has numerous money exchange businesses within it. Presumably, if anyone was going to be protected against an attack, it'd be these guys.
So look, every organization has a certain level of security measures and capabilities that they take. And just because a company gets attacked or compromised doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing enough. Nobody is 100% bulletproof and secure in cyberspace. And therefore, when we talk about cybersecurity for a company or an organization or even a nation, we talk about cyber resilience and not 100% cyber protection. There is no such thing that exists out there. So I'm sure that Travelex has done everything they could do. Unfortunately, they were a victim of a compromise through a virus or malware that locked some of their files and ultimately asked for a ransom of $6 million.
So what are we seeing here in the UAE? How common are ransomware attacks here?
So they are definitely on the increase. I wouldn't share any client names or any incidents for the protection of those organizations. However, ransomware attacks are on the increase, and the way they infect the computer systems and the infrastructure of a client's network is through very easy and simple ways of simple phishing attacks through a link that is sent by email or an attachment that is sent by email. But it could also infect your computer system through a compromise of your Wi-Fi or network where it runs a real-time protocol that allows the remote desktop to be controlled by a ransomware tool.
Times would appear that we would see, you know, numerous individuals getting phished or attacked and asked for $60 or something like that. Was that there was a theory that if we put it out to hundreds, then maybe a couple will come back and we'll make our money. Seems to me, though, that the stakes have been raised a little bit here and hackers are targeting institutions with much higher ransoms. Is that an indication as well?
Absolutely. So cyber attacks have become now a state affair in many cases. So there is state-sponsored cyber crime that takes place globally. There are massive organizations that are really cyber criminal organizations that build elaborate attack vectors and attack systems and malware to infect companies and organizations, most importantly in the finance sector, which is what we've seen recently. But there are also the old hackers that we can think of from the movies, which we call the script kiddies, which may attack an individual's computer system. But in most cases, the large-scale attacks are sponsored by a large-scale criminal organization or a state.
We've got 1 minute left with you, Rabia. What advice can you give this morning to business owners, small and large, to keep themselves safe from ransomware?
That's a very good question, Brandy. So I'd like to leave the listeners with a few recommendations. So for companies, first and foremost, make sure your system is patched and updated. We all know what went through with the WannaCry infection that had a massive scale. Use email scans and email filters. Deploy network intrusion detection and intrusion prevention systems. Deploy network segmentation to limit roaming within your network. Have a ransomware plan. What if you get hit by a ransomware? What happens then? How can you react quickly? Back up and have a disaster recovery automated, and contract a cybersecurity firm like ourselves to help you in the case of an incident to respond immediately, to assist you with forensics and recovery of your tools. Now, for individuals, don't ever click on a link that you don't trust. Don't open an attachment that is not coming from a trusted source. Patch and update your computer all the time and change your password regularly. And most importantly, for both organizations and individuals, educate yourself about the cyber crimes that exist out there.
Robert Debussy, the Senior Vice President, Sales, Marketing and Business Development at Digital 14. Thank you for your advice.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Hopefully, Richard will have made it back from Mumbai and will join me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.